Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence, but today we're actually going to be going through some marketing and some news, some things we want to catch up on, because I know over the past, 2.5 months, we have not had a chance to really do any marketing to help convince you or to help at least kind of pose these scenarios of what is this going to take. I mean, we're going to be looking at the continuance in creating a Department of Transportation, Department of Babysitting. I'm just so used to saying Department of Transportation from Red Pill Expo, because I went through that a lot in trying to get people to understand how the federal government has pursued in violating the Constitution amongst the framers, or I should say at least Madison, Monroe, and Jackson. And now we have all of these other unconstitutional departments. There's nothing stopping them except for the states and you and I. But we're not doing anything. And if we don't do anything, then they will destroy this constitutional republic, period. That's what they're going to do. That is their goal. And so our comment line is 425-270-5416. What is really funny is I actually transposed my numbers on the note here real quick. So I was looking at that just to make sure I got it right. But it's 425-270-5416. Okay, so before we get into doing these petitions, that'll probably be in next week, we are going to get into some content. We're going to get into the cod fishery bounties. We're going to get into Madison's paragraph or essay on property. We are going to get into the Whiskey Rebellion and the Assumption Act. We're going to try to do it in chronological order, so not necessarily in that order. But those are four things that just right out the gate, this new federal government was tested. And just, and you know what I think I'm going to include? I know I cover this, but I think I will include the Bill of Rights, because not the details on the Bill of Rights and reading the amendments themselves. But what I want to do is I want to kind of give you some of the things that they had to hash out at the very beginning. And it gives you the insight of why things are the way they are. Okay, so anyway, we are in this and we are moving forward. I need to be working on, and I will be hopefully getting out, if I haven't already gotten it out, a letter to those new legislators who have participated in the meeting at Red Pill Expo. And what we're hoping to do is actually start creating Liberty Summits and so forth. The problem is that I wasn't the only one that had surgeries. My wife had surgery, so I'm kind of helping her. As a matter of fact, she had surgery the day before I had to leave to go to Red Pill Expo, but we brought our daughter over and she kind of assisted in the, you know, taking care of, which was great. It allowed me to do that, but I still got a lot of honeydews I've got to take care of, as you can understand. But do not forget that this is truly a revolution that is going on that is to steal our liberties and life as we know it. And if we do not stop these globalists, then it's done. I mean, many of us will probably fight to the death, but for those who do not have the resolve to fight to the death, or at least fight until all hope is gone and then to the death, whatever. But I want you to understand that there's no go backs. I mean, the only thing that is going to be of any value afterwards is the second coming. It was, speaking of which, there's some news in Israel which we want to get into, because I see this as the table being set. And so we will get into a lot of news for you. Anyway, let's just start off with actually this Israel. And I'm going to mispronounce the name, but it's Naftali, I believe, Bennett, who basically just beat out Netanyahu. Netanyahu swears he's going to be back. And so I have read speculation from a lot of people that the person, the leader, the supreme leader of Israel, prime minister, whatever you want to call him, that is going to bring Israel into their three and a half years of peace in that 7-year stretch, is going to come from a military background. Now, I know Netanyahu kind of had a military background, but this guy's a little bit different. He actually was an immigrant to the United States, and he served in the Sayeret, I'm going to mispronounce these all, Metcal and the Magallan Special Forces units of the Israeli Defense Forces. And he was commanded many combat operations, and he became a software engineer as well. So this guy's pretty smart, and he kind of understands processes. So why is that important? Because most people don't. As a matter of fact, when you walk into a store, when you walk in and engage, you know, something at a hospital or what have you, because it's not an engineering company, they don't understand processes. So, you know, when you realize that things are broken, they're just not working right, that's because they don't embrace process improvement. They don't have their process delineated, processes flow the way they are, and so forth. And so, I mean, most of them, they kind of do, but they're not oriented. They're not process oriented, but this guy is. And so it's kind of interesting how he is going to be able to find processes and peace and negotiations and so forth. And I think he's probably going to be the one. It all depends, though, because I still think we're just a little bit too early in the 7-year cycle. That is totally GR's call. I believe that at the end of the 2022 to 2029, I believe the next 7-year cycle is 2022 to 2029. And so I believe that's where we'll actually see the peace, you know, happen. Because you got to get some things. Who knows, though? The Lord can move things in the next year, but we'll see. Anywho, and believe me, I'm not saying I know any times or dates or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that there was a, you know, an establishment of a 7-year cycle from the very beginning, with even prior to Israel, that the Lord had established, that I believe, because if you look at it, why 7 years? I think it's literally fit within that 7 years of the, I think it's their agrarian calendar. There's a word for it, but I don't know it, and I've just mispronounced it anyway. So anyway, this gentleman actually served under Netanyahu as the chief of staff until 2011, and he was the co-founder of the My Israel parliamentary movement, and I believe it was in 2018, I'm sorry, where he defected and he created the New Right Movement. You get that? The New Right Movement. And so on June 2nd, and just, you know, he's just literally coming to power. And so on June 2nd, he agreed a rotational government with Yair Lapid, whereby Bennett will actually step down in 2023, after which Lapar will assume the roles. And that's kind of interesting, because that's never happened before. So we'll kind of see how that goes, and if that actually works well, then you may actually see a re-election and no affirmation, or I should say no fulfillment of Netanyahu's bid that, oh, I will return, like MacArthur, right? Anyway, something you need to know, because this is what happens in communist countries. Hong Kong, who has been able to enjoy uncensored films, will now actually be getting the censored films that's what goes into China, mainland China. And so the censors in Hong Kong have been given the power to vet films that authorities say may endanger national security. They're doing this to clamp down on dissidents as the dissidents continue to grow. This is going to be a push. You know, I'm telling you, had Trump actually told Hong Kong or invited them to vote for their freedom, do you want to become a state in the United States? Because any state can do that. We would probably find that China would be on its heels. They would be pretty upset. They'd probably start getting a little more aggressive. That would have left a real bee in the bonnet for Joe Biden to deal with. Would you imagine what would happen? But see, here's the problem. We have such diametrically opposed parties that when Trump goes off and does something good, Joe Biden will undo it. And all this does is it creates turmoil with our allies because we keep on going back and forth and vacillating on, yeah, we're going to support you. No, you're our enemy. And we'll get into that as well with Turkey and what's happened there too. As you didn't know, as you may have not heard, the Senate actually confirmed its first Muslim American federal judge. Now, why is this important? Because when we take an oath as a U.S. citizen and as a U.S. citizen born under the oath, we actually do something that's very, very special. And so when we come back, I'm going to actually read that oath. I'm going to point out why it's problematic. It is problematic for anybody who's a Mohammedan. And so we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so everybody that is a U.S. citizen basically is held to this oath because this is the oath of a citizen. If you want to understand your obligations as a citizen, you have to look at the oath. And the oath has drifted a little bit over time, but not that much. I think under the Obama administration, they permitted for the affirmation, which is a legal process instead of a religious process. Now, that they did that to, I think, accommodate the necessity of Mohammedans who were basically raising their arm because there was a Bible there. And so I want you to understand that there's a huge difference between government in Buddhism in Christianity, in Judaism, and so forth. Now, I would say that Judaism is pretty close, or it used to be pretty close to a theocracy, but Islam, Mohammedism, is a theocracy because they have civil law. You can't eat this, you can't eat that, as a part of their religion. You have to do this, multiple wives. I mean, when you start looking at the types of laws that dictate their behavior as their faith, this is a religious faith. Well, here in America, those things are not tied to faith. And as a matter of fact, in America, we have and we instilled this constitutional republic where the individuals are free not to be compelled by religious dogma, by religious laws and or requirements. The people, if they choose to obey, but they can't force others and compel others to comply. But the Mohammedans, they believe differently. They believe that they must be compelled, kind of like the Puritans. Now, one of the things that I get into when I go into these arguments and discussions with people, you know, I get these hard left core communist socialist Karens in social media that, you know, when they start seeing me talking about Mohammedans and how, you know, they shouldn't they should not be full-fledged citizens. We need to come up with what they instilled back, I think it was 1792, the manual or the doctrine on citizenship, that we can have inhabitants here if we choose to. But to allow somebody to be a citizen who cannot live up to the oath of a citizen, we have a problem. What we're doing is we're kind of allowing the enemy to, you know, basically abide with us. Now, let's go through the oath. I hereby declare on oath and or affirmation that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign, now I'm going to list them. To any, I'm completely all allegiance to these things that have, you know, governed me and my behavior in the past, right? Prince, potentate, and what is a potentate? It's probably just another word for a monarch, king, what have you. State, which would be a civil government, or sovereignty. What is a sovereignty? Well, we consider the supreme sovereign God, and Allah is the supreme sovereign. So the laws of Allah and the civil laws of Allah, dictating marriage and dictating commerce, dictating debt, all of those types of things, because you do see that the Mohammedans not just have this faith that they believe and practice, kind of like, you know, Christians, they actually have a theocracy of laws. Well, we don't have a theocracy. We kind of had a theocracy when we had, you know, church and state coupled in the state governments. Now, as a matter of fact, and I'm going to kind of pull it up while I talk, if you go back to the, I'll call it, go back to the very beginning of the founding of the republic, you'll find that every state had a state-sponsored church. All 13 colonies had a state-sponsored church. And as a matter of fact, when I tell people what was going on when the framers actually coalesced, when they united in the Constitutional Convention, every time they came together, and even in government form, there was, I don't want to necessarily say animosity, but they did not see eye to eye religiously, which is why they had different churches, which is why the Establishment Clause was clearly injected and instilled into the Bill of Rights, because these states did not want the federal government to pick one state or pick one religion. As a matter of fact, it was to be non-denominational. The word you hear today, is secular, which means godless. The word secular back in those days meant non-denominational. It's a huge difference, my friends. So what we're talking about here is when the framers, like the Puritans, sat down next to the Anglicans and the Baptists and all of these other different sects of religion during the Constitutional Convention, they weren't working together to create a, what do you want to call that? Not a, a heterogeneous or a homogeneous, right? Where you had a single, you know, entity or single faith, but a heterogeneous, where you had multiple faiths being able to recognize commonalities, but not necessarily embrace those different faiths and those different faith doctrines and so forth, because the Puritans would have had none of it. They were pretty close to a theocracy. Now, they did not allow certain preaching to be done, and this is how the Baptist faith and other faiths actually became or came to be. Now, so while my stupid explorer is looking for those, let me move on. Excuse me. Let me move on through the citizenship. So you have to basically renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to this foreign sovereignty and the laws that you had to obey, and you're becoming a part of the United States and its laws, its republican form of government, not a theocracy form of government. Whether you like it or not, we do not have a theocracy, and those who seek a theocracy in America are basically violating their oath of citizenship. And so when we look at the following beyond that, okay, so we're going to basically, or they're going to renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign sovereignty of whom or which I have hereto before been a subject or citizen of, and that I will support and defend the Constitution. So the one thing you have to support and defend is the Constitution. You don't have a choice on that. Doesn't mean you can't support your biblical faith. And nine times out of ten, there is no, based on our principles and based on the way our government was established, it dovetails with the Bible. I don't want to say just Christianity. It dovetails with laws, the laws of nature, and the laws of nature's God, natural law. And so, and we've already covered that. And so when we look at this, we can see how can a Mohammedan, how can somebody in the Muslim faith actually, you know, raise their arm to the square and say, I am doing this. I'm not going to follow any other sovereignty that will create a direct conflict with the Constitution. You do not have a choice. You have to support the, now the Constitution doesn't tell anybody that they have to practice a specific faith. I would ask anybody to please send me an email or a comment of how the Constitution would create a conflict, other than the fact that it does not allow you to dictate the conscience of others, to dictate, because yeah, you do realize if you leave the Mohammedan faith that you are actually subject to death. You do realize that they believe in slavery. You realize that these faiths, this is why understanding the theocracy of Islam really helps you understand that it is not compliant to becoming a citizen. Now, does this mean that the Mohammedans can't stay here? Well, no, that means that they can be inhabitants, but they cannot be involved in our law. The fact is that when Dearborn, it's one thing if Dearborn, you know, decided to become a theocracy. Well, it can't, though, because there are certain problems with a theocracy under our Constitution. And so when you hear that Dearborn is formed a theocracy, when they have these calls to prayer over the public speaker systems and other places in America that are going down this path of theocracy, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that is a direct violation of the Constitution. So what got us all on this, and what I'm hoping to do when my document comes up, what we want to do is I'll actually read to you what state had which church so that you can go, wow, that's interesting. They all did actually have a church, but you have to put this into context that the taxes that the state was making, they were giving to the church. But why were they doing this? So that the church could perform very specific compassionate services for welfare, for education, healthcare, and those types of things. Not to mandate, you know, drag you into church. The whole point of Christianity was never to compel anybody, even though we've had theocracies in Christianity that were very compulsive, compulsory. But anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. So why is this so important? And as a matter of fact, it was nice that that promo kind of amplified the importance of the oath of citizenship. So you understand, when this judge took office, he rose his arm to the square and he basically swore that he would support the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, when you read the constitutional oath of office, now where is that? I know I have it, but basically every judge is required to support the Constitution. It's in Article 6, and I believe it is that there be shown no test. I believe it's Section 2. Anyway, I know the religious test is in Section 3, and the oath of office might be in Section 3 as well, but I think it's in Section 2. Nevertheless, that doesn't matter. You go to Article 6, and you'll find the required oath that every person that is going to fulfill or, you know, be seated in a position of responsibility in this government, they must take an oath to support the Constitution. That's it. Not There's not the voters. There's nowhere in there that it says that they will support the voters. It doesn't say that they, because you're, this is not a religious position. This is a position of government, that you are to support the Constitution. And I don't have any problem with that, as long as that person is supporting the Constitution as it was legally defined, period. But when people start injecting their opinions, and this is what we're going to be dealing with, because the bench has been injecting opinions for a long time. And now that they're going down this path of injecting at the federal level, judges that are, because this is what it says here. The Senate confirmed as a historical movement, the guy's name is Zahid Qureshi, and he was confirmed 81-16 to basically fill the District of New Jersey's seat, a bench seat there. He was the third judge appointed, and obviously they're trying to go down this path of creating quote unquote diversity amongst the benches, amongst the judges in the bench. So here's the thing, my friends. If we now have judges that are swearing and taking an oath to support the Constitution, that are U.S. citizens that aren't supporting the Constitution, but they're actually supporting agendas, then what do you expect out of a judge that's a Muslim? He will support. He's not going to fulfill his oath of office. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was there's no doubt the good Lord knew. And I'm not mixing theology. I do know that the Lord had his hand. The framers even told us that the Lord had his hand in inspiring and guiding this nation to create this government. And so there's no doubt in my mind, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment needs to be heavily applied to ensuring that we can now start, getting rid of these people who are in office in our government that are not fulfilling their oath of government, their oath of office. Anyway, this is history. This is historical. And if you didn't hear much about this, maybe they're just sweeping this under the rug so that you don't know. But I'm going to tell you, when all of a sudden some opinions start coming out, I find that it is very hard for Mohammedans to do anything other than support Allah and support the Quran. Well, in our government, that's not what you're supposed to do. You have to support the Constitution. And so if he doesn't know, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment will have him disqualified, and we need to start holding people to that. This is why, and I'm telling you all of this, what's it going to take to get you involved? So we're going to be doing petitions coming up. We need you to start using your constitutional rights to say you can't do this anymore. You've disqualified yourself, because the whole point of these petitions that we're going to have you do will be going after your politicians, judges, and everybody else. And it's all about waking people up. When they see one petition come through and a few people, stirring up some dust about it, that's no big deal. But when all of a sudden we have this happening in other counties, and this push gets bigger and bigger and bigger, they're going to start worrying. I promise you, they will start worrying, especially as we start turning counties into constitutional counties, where we have sheriffs actually supporting the entire Constitution, not, just cherry picking, certain things. There is yet to be a true constitutional sheriff out there. There's not even an organization other than, working with the NLA, where we've talked about a true constitutional sheriffs. We need to get there. We need to get your counties fully constitutional. This takes time. But what's more important is that we start educating and pushing, because this is how we grow the movement, so that as the red states start standing up and moving down this path, you could be moving your red counties in your blue state, because almost every blue state is dominated by red counties. I'm sure yours is too. I believe New York, California. I mean, look at California. California has far more red counties than it has blue. With that, let's go on to the next little news article. But remember, these things that we're going through, we don't have to deal with this. We do not have to allow these things to continue and get worse and worse. So here's something that is a perspective of what happens when all of a sudden we no longer have a legal system that is protected by the Constitution. Going through the ratification debates, we realize that everybody can bring suit. Everybody can bring suit against the government. Everybody can bring suit against companies and so forth. You know, when there's a life lost, when there's money lost or what have you, you have a right to protect your property, to recover property, to protect your life and so forth. Now I'm going to read this story and I want you to keep this in mind. Approximately 12 people just yesterday or just this week, within the past day or so, I think it was Sunday, approximately 12 people were killed and 40 seriously injured. Yes, it was on Sunday, our Sunday, in China from a gas line that exploded and it tore through a residential neighborhood in central China in the city of Xi'an in the Hubei province. I probably mispronounced that. And it actually sent more than 150 people to the hospital. The cause of the explosion remains under investigation. Stallkeepers and customers buying breakfast and fresh vegetables at the market were the majority of the victims when the explosion hit just after 6 a.m., according to the reports. Now, under communism, there will be no financial awards to the victims and who survived the whose family has survived those who have died. And so if you understand the huge difference, you know, you become a piece of property to the state. You don't have a right to be able to sue for the loss of a loved one. The legal system is completely different. And so under socialism, you kind of still have some of that, but the state is still indemnified. The state is still protected. And if it's a utility like this, which is state-owned and state-ran, go suck pipe, baby. That's it. You don't get any, nothing, no payoff. You know, just be glad that you happen to survive and, you know, whatever dismemberments or what have you. It is that bad. In Istanbul, and as a matter of fact, this just recently happened as well. As you know, when Biden became president, he basically acknowledged the Armenian, the genocide of the Armenians under the Ottoman Empire. Now, Erdogan, I believe that's the president's name of Turkey, is really pissed and upset. And because of this, he has basically agreed to purchase the Russian S-400 missiles. And so Erdogan and Biden are going to be meeting, and this is going to be at the NATO summit, and he's not very happy. And he basically says before Erdogan traveled, he said he expects to sit down with Biden and do quote unquote unconditional approach. And he wants to basically address this recognition, the Biden's White House recognition of the 1915 massacres of the Armenians, where they're calling it genocide under the Ottoman Empire. And so basically, the point is that this is what he says. We need to put Turkey-U.S. ties on the table firsthand. In other words, before he remains in NATO. So this is kind of interesting because we talked already about Gog and Magog, Russia and Iran, and creating this alliance against Israel. Well, this may actually be, Biden may be doing the biblical prophecies a big favor. He might be that person that actually helps align and create this huge alliance against Israel. How's that? Doesn't that sound great? My friends, it's not going to get any better. If you don't recognize the times, if you haven't read your scriptures, I would ask you to do so. I am here to tell you that what we're looking at is, in biblical proportion, bad. Armageddon, bad. And so we need you to get involved. We can stop. We can get America, and we can save America. We can't save the world, but we can save America. I'm G.R. Mobley We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. We'll be right back after these two promos, by the way.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Sorry about that. I actually thought that that we'd already gone through the show. I'm still struggling with this new medication and so forth. So hopefully we'll get more coherent as we become a little more used to this, but I'm actually hoping to get some assistance too. What we're looking to do, and actually what I want to do, is I want to grow this show to several hours, but not hours for me, hours for others and for information. And we'll get into that. But what we want to start bringing to the table is the Constitution Party. We want to start bringing to the table the National Liberty Alliance. We want to start bringing to the table the We the People Foundation and other organizations that are directly supporting Republic Review. This is important. We want you to actually start hearing what's going on in your state or states by you. You know, if you don't have the National Liberty Alliance working in your state, then you can hear what's going on and go, you know, we need to do that. And we will help you get organized. Okay. So anywho, that's something in addition to my temporary woes, but you know, we will. I have a good feeling that we're going to overcome this, or I'm going to overcome this lung disease. Anyway, as you also know, Biden's out at this G7 summit and soon to be back. And if you're expecting anything good to come out of this, you will be sadly disappointed. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean what I say. If you believe that getting government, globalists who want to seize control, these are the puppets for the globalists. I mean, look at the people sitting at this table. These aren't the people that own billions of dollars and influence the world. These are the people that are being influenced by those people of power, by that secret oligarchy that is pushing us towards a global government, to a global financial reset, and everything else. When I was in the Marine Corps, I was actually in 1984 at the World Forum at Vail, Colorado, hosted by former President Gerald Ford, who thanked me for serving as a Marine in the detail that basically assisted in transportation for the World Forum. We chauffeured you know, the World Bank, Chancellor Schmidt, and all these different people back and forth to get them to the World Forum. And if you understand what these things aren't necessarily how to help bring prices down for you, the customer. This is how countries and corporations can work together to basically get more money for the government and more money and more control for the government, as well as more money and control for the corporations, kind of creating this pot of melting power and control at whose expense? That's right, yours and mine. And so when you look at what's going on at the G7 summit, if you think this is going to be a good thing or something good's going to come out of this, I'm sorry. You know, that's you will be sadly disappointed. Now, let me get into some G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news. I got a lot of need-to-know news out there, and there'll be other news that'll pop up that I'll probably inject this week. But we do, like I said, we do want to get into some content. But Tucker Carlson said, and this is basically a report from G. Edward Griffin on Tucker Carlson, said that the Democrats are deliberately importing immigrants to weaken American voters and our power of influence by diluting the vote of citizens. The ADL called for companies to pull their advertisements from his show because they say his remarks promote the racist white replacement conspiracy theory popular among white supremacists and anti-Semites who believe white people are under attack by other ethnic groups. That can't be right. Anyway, Carlson also said that Israel uses the same argument against Palestine, the bi-nationalism, which theoretically could cause Jews to become a minority. The ADL, and I don't know, the American Civil Liberties, I don't know, I'd have to look up what the acronym is, he didn't spell it out. The ADL CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, in a speech to the World Federation of Advertisers, urged companies to withdraw support not just from TV shows that finds objectionable, but also from the networks. He previously stated that CEOs have become the fourth branch of government. Now, what did I just say about the World Forum? What you can expect is that they're going to seize and try to control more and more. We already see what happened with Coke. We've already seen this globalist woke movement going, you know, just through, it's just going rickshaw through all of these corporations, these global corporations. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that what we are witnessing, and Tucker Carlson's absolutely right. This is a, as I say, this is an invasion, and these are combatants that are coming here. These invaders are political combatants seeking access to America. There's no other country in the world that allows this to happen, other than Europe. And that's bode really well for Europe, right? I mean, that's why they have these autonomy zones in France and throughout Europe. The problems in Bosnia and Kosovo, right? I mean, those aren't really problems unless, you know, you don't want that the Islam theocracy set up. Now, in America, we're getting everybody and everything. We have to start looking at following and abiding by the Constitution and getting the federal government in line and into the framework of the Constitution, period. Now, another report from G. Edward Griffin, Capitol protesters have been reported to have been tortured, beaten, racially abused, locked in solitary confinement, and held indefinite detention. Now, this is a violation of your rights of writ of habeas corpus. Dozens of Trump supporters sit in jail today, held without bond and without being convicted of any crime. The attorney for defendant Ryan Samsel reported that he was severely beaten by D.C. correctional officers and is now blind in one eye, has a skull fracture, and a detached retina. This is in America. These are actually U.S. citizens. GOP representatives have refused to speak out in their defense. The good guys, right? I'm telling you, the Republican Party is not the good guys. if you finally start waking up on this, you may have a great Republican Party at your state. If this movement rises, if this movement goes to where we start creating constitutional counties and constitutional states with the constitutional parties, and I mean, you know, like if you look at Wyoming, the Republican Party is a constitutional party. I will predict that Wyoming and other states that stand up to start breaking away from the RNC will be forced to either tote the line or abandon, you know, basically be purged. And what happens? Well, this will be a mass migration from the Republican Party to the Constitution Party, period, because the Constitution Party is not a part of the Uniparty. And as a matter of fact, what we're seeing in the Constitution Party is a direction of actually supporting, fully supporting the Constitution, getting away from their, you know, I believe you're going to start seeing them getting away from their platform and aligning to full compliance to the Constitution. And that's what the focus should be. And I'm hoping that they become the, you know, the keystone or the kingpin in, what do we call that? Canonizing. Yeah, the term is canonizing the Constitution. You know, when King James canonized the Bible, what he did is he determined what parts, what books were to become a part of the Bible and how it was interpreted. Now, what we need is, we're not going to rewrite the Constitution, but what we need is we need clear delineation of how the Constitution was defined in the ratification debate. So when one reads one line, we can put some sub notes there that will allow you to actually go, oh, okay, what is sub-reference one? Oh, okay, the necessary and proper clause was defined this way. And it's just different ways of saying the exact same thing. But bottom line, then they'll basically come to, you know, a canonized definition so that the terms and definitions of the Constitution are completely clarified so that a judge no longer needs any interpretation where, you know, they, as long as those ratification debates sit in obscurity, they will continue to use their interpretation. And this is where the danger comes in, because when we start diversifying the bench, as I reported earlier in the show, well, then you can kind of see how this is on a highway to heck, and we're in the handbasket, and it's burning, if you understand what I'm saying. So anyway, as we move on, in contrast, Democrat Senator Elizabeth Warren, who previously condemned the Capitol protesters as domestic terrorists, is now speaking out against holding them in solitary confinement. She said that she is worried that law enforcement officials are using the tactic to, quote unquote, punish the January 6th defendants or to, quote, break them so that they will cooperate, close quote. She has done more to defend the rights of these conservatives and Trump devotees than the entire GOP establishment, including Donald Trump, who condemned them. What the heck's going on, friends? Do you understand? You were getting it upside up one side and down the other. It all comes down to this: total compliance to the Constitution. We have a right to petition government. We have a right of habeas corpus. All of these constitutional rights are being violated. We're considered the enemy, and that is evil in America. I'm G.R. Mobley. We are Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake.
send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.